Hey everybody, welcome to the PDX Beat, a culture show that keeps a finger on the pulse of all things Portland. I'm your host, Amado Lumba, and for this episode, I chatted with former guest Bruce Zick regarding the publication of the first book in his much-anticipated four-book miniseries, The Zone Continuum. Bruce and I talked back in October of 2014 regarding this project, so I was delighted to reconnect with him upon its completion and eventual publication via Dark Horse Comics. This time around, Bruce and I met via Skype, which was the first time I had ever used it. I clearly need to invest in a better microphone, though, for these Skype calls because I sound like I'm inside one of those old-timey radios. You know, the kind that people used to sit in front of because there was no Netflix. Anyway, please pardon the audio quality. I think I figured out a way to do it better next time. And now, on to the show.
I appreciate you sending me a copy of it. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I know that we talked, gosh, probably about a year and a half ago, when it was still in production, or I think you had you were just starting it out at that time.
I probably was doing the Kickstarter campaign to try to get it launched. And so I think the genesis of it since then was that, just to keep you up to date, the Kickstarter failed, and I was really bummed out. But then I was in this fundraising mode because of doing the Kickstarter. It was like inspiring me to be more aggressive about raising money, and I found money from a different source to finance the project, so I was able to take it to Dark Horse Comics and say, I can do the book now. Will you publish it? And they said, yeah. So it worked out great in the end.
Awesome. Now, I know we don't want to give out too many things away during this interview because we want people to go out and get the book and read the story for themselves. But let me I want to ask a little bit. I know when we first talked and I read a few things online just recently, I understand that this particular new book, this Zone Continuum book, is it a reimagining of the old story, or can you explain that a little bit more?
So what happened was the original Zone Continuum series that was out 24 years ago, I think I started it off really well with the basic origin story of how we meet the characters, how they meet each other and become involved in this storyline. But then over the course of the next several books, I think I went totally wrong with it. So getting to reboot the series now for Dark Horse Comics, I re-examined the whole thing. I took the pieces that I thought were right and reintroduced those in a different way in a new retelling of the origin story. But yet I've added all new material, all new plot lines. So we sort of meet the characters in a similar way, but then where things go from there is all new and in color too, I may add.
So. Excellent. Now, can you just do a quick summary again without giving away too many things, but if you can give a quick summary as to what people would find with this book?
Well, the Zone Continuum is it's a science fiction fantasy mythology sort of storyline, but it's a parable to our current condition. It deals with issues of environmental chaos, and it also deals with issues of how we have relationships and how we try to work together. So the idea is that there's an ancient race called the Dar, who live all across the earth. They've been here for thousands of years, and they are trapped in their zones, which are boundaries that they can't cross. They're attuned to their zone. If they try to break the zone perimeter, they would die. So they have to live inside their spaces. And over the centuries, as humans create more and more pollution, there's satellites bombarding the planet with microwave transmissions and radiation and all. It's wreaking havoc on their zones. It's making the zones mutate and twist and warp. And it's also creating these dangerous animal-like phenomenon that are attacking the Dar. So the storyline takes place in the heart of New York City in Zone 27, where our main character Talon lives in a water tower on the rooftops. And Zone 27, like other zones, is mutating, but it's rising higher and higher from the ground level. And it's now currently the bottom of the zone perimeter is at the 15th floor of buildings. So these people are trapped to live on rooftops and in penthouses, and they can never go down to the street again. So that's the landscape in which our story takes place. And Talon wants to see humanity live to correct its problems and make the world a safe place again. But his enemy, Spear, feels that humanity should be obliterated so that the Zone Continuum can be restored and Earth can be restored. So they battle on the rooftops of New York City to decide who the new leader of the Dar will be and what the fate of humanity is. And just one side note to that, it's really a love story too, which yes. I'm happy to say, because Talon, his wife is named Paris. She used to be able to live with him in Zone 27, but in 1944, when the Manhattan Project was first started and the first atomic bomb was exploded, the repercussions of that fractured Zone 27 and split it into two subzones. And his wife found that she couldn't live in Zone 27 anymore. She had to move into Zone 26, which was pulling away from Zone 27. And so now they are apart and they can't be together again because they're attuned to different zones. And so a lot of the story deals with how they cope with not being together and how they never give up trying to break the boundaries of their zones to be together again, which is a lot, I think, about the human condition, that, you know, we're all trapped in our zones of our own making, and we're always trying to break through to be a better person, to have better relationships.
Absolutely. Quick question regarding the Talon Paris love story. Mm-hmm. Has that at all evolved from the 94 version?
Oh, completely, yes. I think it turns out that his wife Paris really has a very critical role in the storyline. In the past, I think she was sort of a very secondary, but now she's sort of been bumped up to a sort of a critical importance. And I'm always hitting up on the need for them to maintain their relationship whatever way they can. But I think there's the plot of the Zone Continuum, which is, of course, always important. But I feel even more importantly that the real story is an emotional story, and it's about their relationship. So at the end of the day, I think you can enjoy the ride of the plot and what the action is all about. But I think you'll be hit more in the end by what the story is about their relationship.
Now, are you an environmentalist at heart? Is that why the Zone Continuum?
I'm an armchair environmentalist. back in 1992 when I did the Zone Continuum, it was even back then. The Earth's condition was on everybody. It was seemed very important, and so I wanted back then to have that be an important element of the story. Because I felt like in each of our own ways, you know, we can do something small or large to, help make the world a better place without necessarily jumping on your soapbox and shouting at everybody. So, and then, of course, 24 years later, the environment and pollution and global warming is far worse. And a lot of great things are happening, but that are all creating hope and optimism, but still the danger is greater now than it was 24 years ago. So I feel like it's even more important to make that statement about the undercurrent plot of the Zone Continuum.
Now, with regard to the narrative itself, I think there were sections there that showed Dar from different parts of the world, mm-hmm. if I recall correctly. Are the Dar who live in New York pretty much just worse off than anywhere else in the world?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, when I do the next series, I should probably explore that more because, you know, certainly Zone 27 is taking a beating. I almost want to make notes because I'm getting a great new story idea. But, certainly that's where our focus is. And the idea that people are trapped to live up in the air, basically, is an interesting idea to me. But other people in other zones, they're all having their problems too. We don't focus on that in this first storyline, but it just occurred to me what would happen to other people who have to live below sea level.
Right.
Like they either now might have to live underground or in the water. You know, so that I think, you know, given time and the ability to explore other ideas of the story, that would be something to bring out.
Yeah, because I can imagine that the Dar who live in Beijing are probably already dead by now. Right.
Well, that's you know, I think I'm going to have to bring you on board as a story consultant because I love that idea. That I mean, every part of the world has its unique problems, and certainly, like the nearer you are to even an eruption of a new volcano. Will fracture parts of the zone continuum. Natural catastrophes as well as man-made catastrophes are all, you know, combining together to make the continuum more unsafe.
What I really appreciate about another thing that I appreciate about the book is that in as much as it is science fiction and the world that the Dar and the other characters in that world interact in with the natural world, it is still it still reads very science fact to me. And actually, you know, obviously I think that's where the environmentalism and all that kind of kicks in. But how did you meld those two ideas together, the science fiction and the science fact?
Well, I did want to make it accessible to people and not be too futuristically strange or unfamiliar. So it's sort of, I feel like this story does take place right now in the world as we know it with the state of our technology as it is, but these people have greater scientific knowledge, so they're able to maybe invent technology that's just a little bit beyond us, but not too much, so that we can still relate to the basis of it. And the thing I'll give away, which I like, that I came up with as a new story idea, is that the most advanced scientists of the continuum people are ancient mythic characters like Cyclops and Gorgons, like the Medusa in Greek mythology is a Gorgon. You know, they're the best technicians. You know, they've been around a long time. The Cyclops in Arabian mythology and other mythologies, Greek, were always makers. You know, they worked in the forges, making machines and devices for the gods of war. And so they were sort of like craftsmen, as well as being terrible ogres and all that. So they just seemed like a natural kind of race of creatures that would have evolved over time to have some of the best scientific ability of all.
I really appreciate that that you did mix all that up and made it make sense, you know, in terms of how these mythical creatures and gods and demigods who potentially once ruled the earth have now been have evolved along with us, but certainly in a different different manner. But more importantly, I think it's fun it's funny to see and conceptualize how these folks, how these beings who were more superior to us in many ways before, mm-hmm. are now being pushed out of existence because of just our own existence,
right?
Just humanity's existence.
Well, I think you know, one thing I like to consider is that mythic creatures, maybe over time, they get weaker and weaker just because of how long they've been on the planet. So, like the Cyclops, they were once colossal. And over time, they've just been getting smaller and smaller and weaker. I mean, their science knowledge has, their brains have continued to evolve, but their stature has diminished. And so they are more relegated to everyday tasks rather than marauding and conquering and wreaking havoc. They've been forced to take on a different role in their society.
Like our page on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thePDXBeat. Follow us on Twitter at ThePDXBeat. Email us at thepdxbeat@gmail.com. And check out our website at www.thepdxbeat.com.
Now, as you were reimagining and rebooting and retooling the Zone Continuum for this new book, what ideas from the old version were the most painful to let go?
I had to give up one thing which dealt with what happens when one of these ancient Dar dies. What's the ritual of their death ceremony? And how are they, in essence, cremated and their being essence returned to the ether of the continuum? I like that quite a bit. And also, there was a device that the enemy used, that Spear used to try to defeat Talon, and it was called the Stripper of Souls. And he was peeling away Talon's kind of control mechanisms, and slowly Talon was becoming more and more savage, like when the Dar were first on the planet. And that, in a way, that made him a better fighter to be able to defeat Spear because he was less civilized. So there were a lot of those kind of storylines, and I think, you know, over the life of the Zone Continuum in its reboot, I would like to pick those back up and tell them, but just in a different order and in a different way, because I want the main storyline to be much more urgent and immediate, and I want to keep the storyline based on the environment of the rooftops and its unique setting to our story, because, you know, the rooftops are such an amazing place. And, you know, from where we live on the streets, we hardly see what that world looks like. But, you know, if you're ever in a really tall building and you look down on the roofs of other buildings, you just think, wow, what a strange world that is, with yeah. all the water towers and the pipes and the air conditioning, heating, venting, duct work, and the chimneys. And, you know, you realize buildings are really living entities that must take in air and exhale toxic fumes. That it's much like a human body has to breathe in and breathe out and also digest. And I won't get too graphic about it. But you appreciate that world of the rooftops, and so I just think it's a great place to tell a story.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly imagine that these things could potentially happen on those rooftops, and it actually makes me wonder if you know, if I did live in one of those tall buildings and I hear something happening up there, it kind of makes you definitely think. It's like, you know, it could be something simple, or it could be a bunch of Dar fighting each other out.
Yeah, and fortunately, only the Dar really can experience the terrible mutations and things that are going on in the continuum. because it's beyond the range of human perception with our eyesight and our decibel range. So while they may be experiencing explosions and blasts and terrible, horrible things, you know, somebody could be on their balcony drinking a bottle of wine, enjoying the beautiful evening air and not even know this is going on. If a building got crushed or a water tower fell, then, you know, that's in our range of experience, and then we know things are going on. And actually, there is a police file on strange rooftop phenomenon and all the investigations over the decades from strange things that nobody can explain that have been happening up there. So that's something I'd like to get into more too in the ongoing series is the detectives who are investigating these disturbances and trying to get to the bottom of it.
Now, apart from Talon and Paris and Spear, which other character do you think you are most attached to in the series?
Well, I love the other two main characters. Braunus is Talon's assistant, and he's a sort of a mythological character himself. He's a djinn, which is spelled D-J-I-N-N, which is sort of a mythical kind of a genie kind of character. And he's a short little bald-headed guy, and he's got pointy ears. And he runs the computer array in the water tower, which is their headquarters. And the water tower is called Rock's Nest, which is also another mythic reference to Arabian mythology. And so he's the little guy that tries to keep Talon together, and Talon is a bit reckless and stubborn, so Braunus usually has to always save him or guide him, and he's giving him constant computer data relays to Talon's zone equipment so that when Talon is out on the rooftops, you can hear Braunus talking to him and giving him data inputs, warning him about things, or just giving him suggestions. So I think I really like Braunus, and I gave him a far more interesting story arc, I think, in this new series. And then there's a street kid who is actually trying to commit suicide because of the trouble he's in. And he gets pulled into the world of Talon and Braunus. And then he ends up having this really crucial impact on how Talon is able to survive. So that's all new in this storyline too. So I tried to improve their parts in the story.
Yeah, I like how Braunus is sort of like Batman's Alfred, but on steroids.
Yeah, right.
definitely takes good care of Talon, it seems.
Yeah. I'm glad you like him. It's sort of a cool character.
Right on. So how long did this project take you?
The rebooted version?
The rebooted version.
Oh, well, I think I've been working on it for the past year.
All right.
Yeah, there's so much time that goes into writing scripts and working with the editorial staff at Dark Horse Comics and getting the book lettered and going over the lettering and reviewing the editorial input. And then the design of the book was pretty involving too, and how we would lay out the pages and how we would have sort of little interstitial breaks with page designs. And in the back of the book, there's a zone glossary of terms, which I think can be helpful for somebody who may easily get confused. And then there's a nice section of a sketchbook with some of my very earlier concept designs for the series. So It was a lot of work putting this darn book together.
Well, and the result is stunning. I mean, it's graphic. The graphics are amazing. The storyline, the storyline was definitely very engaging. But I wanted to find out. So through the editorial process, was there anything that was snipped or cut that you did not agree with?
No. I think the editor was there to just make sure that my story made sense. But he wasn't there to change it in any way. He may have had those feelings about it, but I think depending on which publisher you work for, the editor can be more intrusive in a helpful way to altering your story, or the editor can be there more as a support just to get your story out there and make sure you've not omitted any glaring inconsistencies or continuity breaks or anything like that.
Excellent. So how do people find your book right now, Bruce?
Well, it's currently in the comic book shops everywhere in the country. And I believe it's March 8th. It will be out in the brick and mortar stores.
Here in town, where would we find them? Everywhere, pretty much?
Well, everywhere. I think I should check with Pals to see if they've got it. I think Borders, is it Borders or Barnes & Noble? I forget which one went out of business. But
I still see Barnes & Nobles around. So.
Okay. And certainly there are comic book shops. The Things from Another World should definitely carry them. And there's Excalibur and Bridge City and a bunch of bookstores around town. And of course, you can always go to Amazon and get it and probably get a price break, though you have to pay for shipping. So I don't know. And then there's Comixology as a digital platform so that you can just download the book and pay less money for it and have it in your computer.
And how do people find you online?
Well, I am on Facebook, and if you just Google my name, Bruce Zick, I mean, if you search in Facebook for me, you'll find me. And also, if you search on Facebook for The Zone Continuum, there is a dedicated Zone Continuum page. And I really invite people to come on and have a conversation with me. I love getting feedback. I mean, just talking to you, I've already got a whole bunch of new ideas that I have to write down as soon as we're done. But I love getting positive, constructive feedback or you know, negative constructive feedback. And I can't emphasize enough how much I really do like to hear from people and have a relationship with the readership, because you sort of work in a bubble, or I'm in my own zone, as you might say, but you're just in a vacuum doing your story. You don't know until it comes out, you know, whether you've succeeded or not, and getting input from people about it really is immensely helpful.
Well, I'll certainly help spread the word, and I definitely cannot wait until the second installment, because I really want to find out what happens to those characters in particular, but to that world also in
Great.
General.
Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to get into the next story. I've painted myself into a corner with some plot lines, and I don't know how I'm going to get them out of it. So it'll be interesting to figure out how it's all going to work out.
Well, my Skype line is always open if you have any questions and need ideas.
I will take advantage of that for sure.
Right on. Well, Bruce Zick, totally appreciate you being on the call, and congratulations on the new book, and hope to hear from you again soon.
Well, thank you very much.
You can also find out more information about Bruce Zick, the Zone Continuum miniseries, as well as his other works on his website at www.pigdogproductions.com. And that's our show, folks. Music courtesy of Portland musician Sweet Nothing. If you hadn't already done so, please subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, or wherever you download quality podcasts. This has been a presentation of the PDX Beat. In 2 weeks, I feature my chat with local author Ellie Alexander about her Oregon-set murder mystery series, on which I'm gladly hooked. Till then, I'm Amado Lumba. Thanks for tuning in.